Good day, everyone, and welcome to Phoenix Solar's conference call with the presentation of the financial figures for the third quarter 2011. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the call over to Dr. Andreas Hähnel, Chief Executive Officer of Phoenix Solar AG. I'd also like to welcome Mrs. Sabine Kauper, Chief Financial Officer, in today's conference call. Dr. Hähnel, you may now begin.
Okay. Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to our third quarter conference call. We have broken down today's presentation in three main parts. We will start with information about the financial parameters. Sabine Kauper is going to present that paragraph, and then I will move on with module sales and internationalization and provide you with an outlook 2011 and 2012, not only looking at the market development, but mainly looking at the development of Phoenix Solar this and in the coming year. I would like to now immediately hand over to Sabine Kauper to present the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will start my presentation with the key figures of the third quarter. The revenues for the whole group amount to 130.1 million, of which components and systems add up to 65.8 million, and of which power plants add up to 47.3 million. Our international business revenues amount to 81 million. Our EBIT is negative with 13.2 million, as well as EBIT margin with 11.6%. Our equity ratio adds up to 29.4%, and order backlog by the end of Q3 amounts to 237 million. After this short overview, I would like to go in detail with the figures of the profit and loss statement on page five. On the left-hand side, you can see the annual charts, and on the right-hand side, the quarterly chart. Revenues went up 18.7% to 130.1 million for the third quarter, and international sales made a significant contribution to revenues in the third quarter. Our group EBIT is presented on page six. Again, you will see on the left-hand side the annual charts, and on the right-hand side, the quarterly charts. The EBIT for the third quarter is negative with 13.2 million, as well as EBIT margin with 11.6%. On the one hand, EBIT is influenced by 29 million of inventory depreciation during the first three quarters. On the other hand, we received stock compensation from our suppliers of 7 million. If we split in two segments on page seven, you will see revenues for the component and system segments amount to 65.8 million for the third quarter, and EBIT is negative with 15.4 million, as well as EBIT margin with 23.4%. International sales for the third quarter of component and systems increased to 42.2 million compared to second quarter with 11.7 million. We had a high depreciation of inventories, which influenced our gross margin and led to negative EBIT in this segment. Our second segment, the power segment, on page eight, shows a revenue of 47.3 million and an EBIT of 2.2 million with an EBIT margin of 4.7%. Revenues went up 14% in contrast to 2010, and the power plant segment is profitable since second quarter. We have finished profit and loss statement now, so let's have a look at our balance sheet on page nine, which shows an increase of the total balance sheet from 313.3 million to 341.9 million, with an inventory of 155.3 million. For detailed information, I have prepared a separate slide. We will find this on page 11 afterwards. Our shareholder equity adds up to 100.6 million. Current liabilities increased from 165.5 million to 237.5 million, of which current financial liabilities amount to 90.2 million. We had in the middle of October payment of around about 40 million for a big project, so current financial liabilities will decrease by the end of October. As our write-downs of inventories are influenced our EBIT significantly, we prepared a detailed overview on page 10. You will find the write-downs during the quarter with 7.4 million for the first quarter, 12 million for the second quarter, and 9.6 million for the third quarter. So write-downs for the third quarter add up to 29 million, of which modules write-downs amount to 20.5 million, of which inverters amount to 6.9 million, of which balance of system amounts to 1.6 million. As only half of reported inventory is stored in Phoenix Group warehouses, we prepared with detailed information on page 11 for you. Inventory amounts in total to 155.3 million, with goods in stock with 84.5 million, goods in transit with 46 million, goods at project site with 8.3 million, project rights with 9.4 million, and with completed projects waiting for an investor with 7.1 million. Let's have a look at our order backlog now in this connection with our inventory. Order backlog is dominated by international power plant projects again. Our free order backlog after adjusting for POC amounts to 98 million euro, and Q3 order backlog is below Q3 2010, and order backlog for power plant segment is 48 million for Germany and 150 million for international projects. Let's switch over to the working capital analysis on page 13. Working capital shows a decrease from 138.6 million to 93.5 million. Working capital ratio amounts to 21.7%. As I said also in the last conference call, actions were taken to reduce inventories and capital commitments in projects, but at the current low revenue levels, these measures are not yet sufficient to improve the working capital ratio significantly. The last topic of my presentation is the cash flow analysis. Operating cash flow is negative with 26 million. We had a significant improvement of the operating cash flow situation due to liquidity release by reduction of inventories and capital commitments in the power plant segment. Now I will finish my presentation and hand over to Andreas Hähnel. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you, Sabine. I will move on with topic module sales and internationalization and move on to the module sales. On the left-hand side, you can see the yearly values from 2006 to 2010 with a clear upside trend with a with an annual growth rate of 80%, and on the right-hand side, the quarterly values of 2011. As you can see from the Q3 values on the right-hand side, we have seen a significant uptick in volume in the third quarter compared to the previous year's value. We have seen and sold more than 40% of modules totaling 66 megawatt, which is much more than the uptick in revenue, which was 18.7%. On a three-quarter comparison, end of September compared to the previous year's numbers, not surprisingly, the numbers are below last year's values. They are down 29% to roughly 160 megawatts. One of the main reasons, of course, is that we had these additional FIT cuts on the 1st of July 2010 in Germany, which made the second quarter 2010 the best ever in German, let's say, solar history. If you now try to give some guess how the fourth quarter will be performing, in terms of megawatt. We very clearly focus on those products which still are in the warehouse, and we will be very cautious in purchasing additional volumes. The clear focus is driving down the inventory level to the minimum possible. So that means we will probably not do all the sales we could do in the fourth quarter. We will do those sales which we can do with the inventory available. So this makes a prediction of the megawatt sales in Q4 a little bit difficult. However, I believe at the end of the day, we will reach a total yearly sales volume which is in between the values of 2009 and 2010. So that means for the first time in the history, basically in the last 11, 12 years, for the first year, there will be a decline in total module volume sold. So that means that the price decline, which we also have seen in previous years, will not be able to be compensated or overcompensated by higher megawatt sales. If we move on to the internationalization chart on page 17, I think that shows a quite positive picture. We have been able since beginning of last year to expand our international sales very significantly. We have seen in the third quarter an increase of 53.4% to 81 million euros, which is, I think, a fair value, and we have reached a total of more than 71% in international sales and only 28.4% national sales. On a three-quarter comparison basis, the international sales moved to roughly 150 million euro, which is also an increase of 53.4% compared to the previous year's numbers. And I think also the whole year numbers are quite impressive. In a three-quarters comparison, we have reached almost 60% of our sales internationally. Again, like I think in the first and in the second quarter, it proves our ability to internationalize successfully. The internationalization is not only a focus on Europe, it's also a focus on markets outside Europe, including the United States, India, Thailand, Philippines, and Singapore. And the order backlog, as you may have seen from the press release, amounts to 24 million euro, which is a significant increase to the previous year's numbers, because there the order backlog outside Europe was just 1 million euros. Now, how is does the outlook 2011 and 2012 look like? And I have only prepared one market slide, which is the development of the German market in the first half 2011 compared to the previous year's numbers. We have seen a significant downturn in the market. We have lost 55% of the market in the first half. However, by the end of September, and the numbers of the German Federal Network Agency, Bundesnetzagentur, have just recently been published, the 9-month figures compared to the previous years lead to a 39% of reduction of the German market, which is very substantial still. But it also shows that the market decline in Germany has been decelerating in the third quarter, because if you compare the third quarter 2011 with the third quarter 2010, the market values are only down 2%. Expectations for Q4, while difficult to make an estimate, I believe that we will end at, the whole year's numbers will end in between 4.7 and 5.5 gigawatt. So there is still some room for improvement, I would say. Depends a lot on the weather conditions which we will be facing by the end of the year, but I think it's not unlikely that we will meet the numbers of Q4 2010, which, however, have been comparatively weak to the previous year's numbers. Move on to page 20, the guidance situation. I think you're all aware of the guidance which we issued in 2011 on 11th of October, which forecasted sales of 350 to 400 million euros and an EBIT of minus 42 to minus 49 million euro. So for sure, a very disappointing guidance, I can imagine. However, it has a lot to do with the rapid module and system price declines, which we have seen in this year, which in some cases even exceeded 40%. And just if you make a simple math and you take last year's revenue numbers of 635 million euros, you deduct 40%, you arrive at 380 million euros. The sales reduction on the basis of an almost unchanged or slightly declining megawatt sales is mainly based on the price declines which we have been facing in 2011. Of course, this not only negatively impacts sales, it also negative impacts the gross profit, which we will be able to make, because if revenues go down and even if the gross profit stays on the same level, we have a significant reduced gross profit compared to the previous years. As Sabine has already mentioned, the losses 2011 are dominated by write-downs of inventory. So Sabine has already mentioned the 29 million euros at the end of the third quarter. However, the effects of the price decline, this rapidized price declines, is also being reflected in the sales margins, which we have seen. So even if there have been no write-downs, the margins have been under pressure because of the price decline. So this has, let's say, an add-on effect, adding on to this 29 million euro, a loss in profit, a loss in margins, which is really very difficult to account for. Moving and having a look into what's going to happen in Q4, I think we have cleared, let's say, with very conservative write-downs, the inventory to the year end. However, it's very essential for us to clear inventory by the end of the year, and it's very unpredictable still how the price development is going to be in the first quarter 2012. You may know that we will define our write-downs for 2011 finally on the very latest moment next year, so this will be probably beginning of March next year, so all those price movements and developments which we're going to see in the next 4 or 5 months from now on will also be fed into our 2011 numbers. This is very difficult to predict. For that reason, we can't fully exclude that there will be further write-downs in the fourth quarter, depending on the price development beginning of next year. So very clearly, I thought it makes sense to have a look about look on the measures we are putting in place in order to put Phoenix Solar back on track. Very clearly, the changing market environment imposes the need to have a closer look at the business model. So I think we will need to optimize the business model and try to select those segments or subsegments where we believe that we have margin protections. However, and also very clearly, Phoenix is going to be a system integrator. We will have power plants and we will have a wholesale business also in the future. Nonetheless, we have to refocus the business model in such a sense that we have to identify where we find additional margin potential, for example, in the framework of any kind of forward integration. In order to do so, in order to be successful 2012 onwards, we are currently evaluating our business segments and our business units in order to see where we find future growth potential and profit potential. And this analysis is currently being completed and carried out with an external advisory. So we believe that we will be able to finish that by December 2011 to be prepared for 2012. Just taking the pure numbers into account, and this I think is not only an issue for Phoenix Solar, this is also an issue for many other players in the industry. Phoenix Solar had a top performance in the past years, so we were, I think, one of the leading companies having sales of 2 million euros per full-time equivalent in past years. But nonetheless, given that we have not been able this year to rise volumes, we are fully suffering from the price declines and the profit declines, and what we need to focus is on to streamline the organization. So this calls for further improvements in cost and also, let's say, in processes, for example, to improve the throughput with the same staffing level. Looking at some potential measures currently under discussion in the sales department, we believe that we have a protected margin environment in projects where we hold project ownership. This can't be influenced by a competitor, and there is a very limited, let's say, competition mainly on the project rights. But we are currently focusing very strongly on building up a pipeline, not only in the United States, in Asia, but again with a strong focus on the German market. This year we have been moving out of the German market strongly. I pointed out our successes in the internationalization, but nonetheless, we have identified potential on the German market for next year, large-scale projects mainly, because the price decline helps us a lot in order to do good project business in Germany from next year onwards. If I compare both business segments of Phoenix Solar, and if I have a look at the components and systems business, very clearly the components and systems business supported us strongly in the last couple of years. It showed various years of strong strength, including 2010, where we have a reasonably high EBIT margin of, I think, 7.6% last year. But this year, surely due to the oversupply, the components and systems business is under strong pressure. And this, we believe, is going to continue also in the years going forward, and we do expect lower margins from 2012 onwards. And we will need to redesign the market approach of components and systems segment within the next weeks or so in order to clearly define where we will move and position from 2012 onwards. But there are also some activities to develop in the procurement. We are now in a position that the market allows for just-in-time delivery, both for project business and to some extent also components and systems business, which is due to the oversupply of modules and inverters, which is going to continue from our point of view also in the next years. So this allows us to keep inventory at much lower level than what we have done in 2010 and partly 2011. And this will significantly reduce our risk of further inventory write-downs. It's a very clear focus, as the majority of our losses have been inventory write-downs in 2012, so we definitely have to avoid that in 2012. And very clearly, we believe that the minimization of the lead times between purchase and delivery to customers is one of the main issues of reducing risk of write-downs in 2012. In order to do so, in particular for stock coming from the US and mainly from Asia, we need to make sure that we purchase directly from European warehouses of Asian and maybe also US suppliers, and we are currently discussing with some suppliers to start consignment stocks in Europe, which then will definitely reduce the lead times between purchase and delivery. We also have to optimize our portfolio strategy. Historically, Phoenix was open to different technology. This is going to continue. So Phoenix Solar is going to be a pure play in PV with a focus on thin film and crystalline technology. But also very clearly, we do not need to extend our supplier portfolio significantly or any further because there's sufficient supply available on the market. We may now reduce the number of suppliers in order to minimize the inventory risks, and also helping us to streamline sales and logistics processes, so that means mainly also to reduce costs significantly. And also, we are renegotiating long-term contracts in order to adapt to the volumes and price developments which we do expect for 2012 market conditions. So I'm at the end of the presentation. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm open to your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A period. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 9* on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9* again. As a courtesy to those individuals seeking to ask a question, we kindly ask that all participants limit themselves to 2 questions. The first question comes from Robert Schramm-Fuchs from Macquarie. May we have your question, please?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I was wondering, why are there still goods in transit in your inventory position of 46 million euros? I thought that by the end of September you'd already stopped sourcing modules. And could you update us, are there any goods in transit as of today? And my second question is that the read from the covenant breach and group financing risk explanation on page 22 that the the equity holders are probably not in the driver's seat at present, but will the restructuring plan that needs to be presented to the syndicated banks, will that be shared with the equity investors? Thank you.
Well, first question to goods in transit. Yes, we said additional volumes. We stopped purchasing those in July and August, so by the mid of October, we finished purchasing additional product. However, taking the production and the delivery lead times into account, those projects which have products which have been purchased in July and August have been in shipment in September due to the lead times which we have from Asia. In addition, there were shipments and goods in transit for products based on the long-term delivery contracts which we had, which we have been able to reduce in the fourth quarter, but some products have been turning in the third quarter. And third, as you know, we are building a couple of large, very large projects, just as an example, the 24 megawatt project in France, and for this project, very sure, we do need delivery of products, and some of these products have been in transit. As far as I know, about 15 to 16 million euro of those products in shipment are dedicated to the 24 megawatt plant in France. So Sabine Kauper has tried to also split down, let's say, the volumes of the inventory in order to better understand where these numbers come from. So that means the pure numbers of the physical warehouse equipment and products in the warehouse and goods in transit was very limited compared to project rights and other stuff. Going forward, the volume of goods in transit has been significantly reduced by the end of October. Basically, if I see the 2 weeks numbers over time, starting mid of the year to the end of October, we have seen the maximum by the end of September due to the reasons which I mentioned, and they're now moving rapidly down, and by the end of October, the total stock in warehouse, including goods in transit, have been reduced by 20 million euros. I hope this answers your question. And as far as the second question is concerned, I'm going to hand over to Sabine Kauper.
Concerning our group financing situation, our application for waiver was agreed yesterday by all the banks. And the waiver is conditioned, as you said before, on the presentation of a reorganization report and also on the granting of a standstill agreement, which must be signed by the 16th of November. So if we do a restructuring of our company, I'm sure we will present it also to our equity shareholders. But at first, we have to finish this restructuring concept, of course. Does it answer your question?
If you could just elaborate this this agreement that's needed by next week, how this is structured, or who needs to agree to that, please? Thank you.
This will be a standstill agreement by the other bilateral lenders, guarantors, and trade credit insurers, which must be demonstrated by 16th of November. If you do not demonstrate this standstill agreement, the waiver is not agreed, and the contract of our syndicated loan is on risk. But at the moment, we hope that everyone will sign this standstill agreement.
Sure. Thanks very much.
Mr. Jean-François Maimandi from UBS, may we have your question, please? Mr. Maimandi, your line is open now.
Sorry, I was on mute. So back. Thanks for taking my questions. First one, on your liquidity as of today compared to the one of end of reporting quarter, I think I remember that you entered some cash, so how does that look like also on inventories as of today? And also the second one, as your visibility on new projects increased, I remember you were also talking about projects in Bulgaria. How is the picture looking like there as well?
To the first question concerning liquidity, liquidity is improved. By the end of September, we had loans with 90 million. As I said before, we got a payment from a big project with 40 million euros, and so liquidity is improved at the moment.
And in inventories?
What do you mean by inventories? I'm not really clear.
Your line inventory on your balance sheet, if we had to look at, you have 150 million on balance sheet at end of the quarter.
Yeah.
Were you able to decrease that?
Well, that's what I mentioned with a question with Robert Schramm, that we have been able to bring down this inventory level by around 20 million by the end of October. It's further declining. So the amount of unsold products is moving down almost every day. And in fact, what we have been reporting today is the maximum of the last 3 or 4 months. So it has peaked by the end of September and now moving down. And it needs very clearly to be differentiated that it's not only products sitting in the warehouse, includes products being directly delivered to the site, and includes finished projects, and includes project rights. So this split down is provided in the conference call presentation.
Okay.
Coming to your second question about new projects, you mentioned a 50-megawatt project in Bulgaria. That's right. So we are currently negotiating with many interested parties on this project. So it really shows a lot of interest in this project. So almost every day, new investors and interested parties coming up. So we're currently focusing on talking to 3 or 4 of them where we believe has the highest potential, and we believe in the next 2 to 3 weeks we will be able to focus on, let's say, the most interesting one of all these investors, and hopefully we will be able to be close to finalize the negotiation by the end of the year. But overall, that looks good. In addition to that, we are currently developing further projects in Germany, which will not be started this year. This is definitely too late to make any further project starts, which are due by the first and the second quarter next year. And we are filling our pipeline with projects in Germany. I mentioned that that has a lot of potential in Germany now next year, in order to do as many as projects in possible in Germany by the end of H1. In addition to that, we have further projects in pipeline in the United States and in Asia. As we haven't disclosed them yet, and we have agreed with the investor and with the developer not to disclose any information. I can't do this in the course of this conference call, but as early as possible, we will try to issue a press release on these projects.
Okay. Thanks.
The next question comes from Arindam Basu from Barclays Capital. May we have your question, please?
Good afternoon. Arindam from Barclays Capital. 3 questions from me.
We allow for 2 questions, so please restrict to 2 questions.
2 questions, then. No problem. First, when you talked about the application for waiver on covenants, is there any one-time fee that you expect to pay on the back of this that may be part of your P&L in 2011? And second question, when you're in discussions with your customers for projects, have you seen any trend that customers need some kind of insurance against vendor guarantees, given what we're seeing in the module industry today and the expectation that, you know, certain module manufacturers may not make it for the next 2 to 3 years? Are your customers kind of demanding some kind of insurance against vendor guarantees?
Well, let me cover the second one first, and then I move on to Sabine Kauper for the wafer and covenants question. We haven't seen customers demanding additional insurance for modules under the provision and under the possible assumption that the module maker will not be in existence in the next couple of years. However, I believe this is a concern in general terms which we need to face, and we also do actively. I can tell you that in the past 1.5 years, we have been declining sourcing products from at least 2 suppliers where we have monitored that the balance sheet has been deteriorating and we were not sure
that this is going to last forever, and for that reason we have stopped procuring material from those vendors. And I also believe that the issue of bankability plays a major role, because if the banks are willing to finance, the bankability issue is still very dominating also on the level of the banks. So if there should be some concerns, I think the investor will not get financing from this, from the bank. This as far as the project customer situation is concerned, and now the wafer and covenants question.
Okay, concerning the wafer question, the first step was to negotiate the wafer. The wafer is agreed. At the moment, we do not have to pay a wafer fee. The next step will be the standstill agreement, as I said before. And the step behind this is to show our banks our new business model and our reorganization report. And after banks have received this reorganization report, we have to negotiate the next steps and the next fees, especially an agreement fee. At the moment, we have to pay more margin for our interest rates, of course.
All right. Okay. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from Katarina Koleva from WestLB. May we have your question, please?
Good afternoon. My first question is on the components and systems business. I know it's a general question, but do you think that this business has any future in Germany? My understanding is that customers are no longer willing to pay a premium for modules they can get cheaper, let's say, directly maybe from the manufacturer. The installers may be well-educated in terms of PV, and so... what could be the added value that your company could provide to those installers? I understand that this business might have a future for, or maybe, let's say, might be successful in the next few years in other countries like Italy, but Germany, I wonder what's your idea there. And my second question is, could you provide us an update on the projects that are ongoing in the Middle East and your business there?
Okay.
Thank you.
So to your first question, components and systems business. Well, I pointed out in the presentation that I think the most in-depth look which we need in our two segments is the components and systems business, because we believe that the margin pressure is going to continue. Looking back into Phoenix history, we very often had very high EBIT margins, sometimes in some quarters above 10%. In the components and systems business, and I always pointed out that the long-term EBIT margins I expect in this business is in a range of 3 to 5%. So that has stayed unchanged since many, many years. And I think we're now moving into exactly that situation, that we clearly have to identify whether we will be able to meet this long-term target, which I've always announced, 3 to 5% in the components and systems business. And we're currently analyzing the customer structure, and we are analyzing our segment in order to identify in which ways we will be able to reach that. The situation which we currently have is that our larger customers are partly now directly being supplied by, let's say, Chinese manufacturers, only Chinese for the time being. This may have to do with the fact that they're also under margin pressure. But this is also a situation which is very similar back to 2006, and also in 2006 Chinese module makers were selling anywhere at anyone at any price. So there was no differentiation at all, and they have been moving, let's say, into regular sales channels in the years to follow. Going forward for the Chinese, it will be interesting to see to which level they will be going, because they will be facing a lot of cancellation of contracts, because customers typically only purchase if they definitely need the product. They supply very small quantities, not full containers, half containers, or even less. So that means a high logistic effort, a high effort of salespeople necessary, and high, let's say, cost which is incurred with this way of approach, and I'm not sure whether this is going to sustain. In addition, I know from one or the other Chinese suppliers that they even have stopped making these kind of direct deliveries. What we need to find out if What we need to do in order to stay in the volume business, and we have some, let's say, very interesting approaches in order to do so and also regain those customers and being able to supply with products, because still the situation is they have to focus and concentrate, let's say, on a single supplier in order to get significant volumes, and it will be very difficult for them to offer product choice. Only a company like Phoenix Solar brings them in a position that they can offer different technologies. So that means if one of these larger customers does 2 to 3 megawatts or 5 megawatts per year, if he splits that one into 5 or 3 different technologies and suppliers, the volumes are quite negligible. So he has to focus, and possibly this is not the optimum situation for his customers. In addition, we have to identify whether we offer more value added and move, let's say, to smaller installers who don't have this access and have a further need for marketing and support and others. That means which looking for a more service-oriented approach. So this is currently going on in our analysis, and this is going to be finished in a month from now. Your questions, second question's project in the Middle East. So we are finalizing the 3.5 megawatt in Saudi Arabia. We have been participating in a couple of tenders in the Middle East, but we have refocused our activities on the German market, which we believe is essential for growth 2012. So we do not do the Middle East market with full power at the moment. We have full power put on the U.S. market and on the Asian market and on the German market for 2012.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Next question comes from Götz Fischbeck, BHF Bank. May we have your question, please?
Yes, hello. I've actually got also two questions. First of all, how do you explain that actually in terms of megawatts registered with a federal network agency in Germany, we saw a sequential increase of 38% in the third quarter compared to the second, whereas, as I understand, actually your sales volumes were down. Does that basically mean you already pre-sold that all in June, kind of trying to clear inventories by the end of the second quarter? Or are we indeed seeing actually that Chinese vendors, as you just mentioned, now directly service the German installers, so that in this business segment, indeed, actually, the volume for wholesalers is declining? And then actually on the very last slide, you're referring to the renegotiation of long-term contracts. Now that we are aware that there's one that expires in the middle of 2012, are there any other takeoff contract or long-term contracts that you're involved in that we should be aware of and that extend beyond that period?
The megawatt question with the Bundesnetzagentur, the federal registry, you should always be aware that this is not the installation of plants in a particular month, it's the registration.
Sure.
That means there can always be a delay between installation, grid connection, and registration. You very clearly see this when you look at the very year-end numbers in December 2009 and December 2010, where we had 1.7 and 1.1 gigawatt respectively. I can definitely tell you never, ever that many projects have been connected. It's just a question of registration before the deadline. And if you have a look at the numbers of January this year, which was more than 200 megawatts, I can also definitely tell you never ever there have been 200 megawatts installed. That's a spillover of 2010. So this is a kind of, let's say, time shift between grid connections and registration. Second, there is always a kind of time gap between production of products, delivery of products, installation, grid connections, and registration. So that means what you see which has been registered in Q3 may have been purchased and delivered in the second quarter and produced in the first quarter. So you should take this time shift into account. Last point to this one is we have put less effort into the German market because of the weakness of the German market in the beginning of this year, as you can see from our international sales. So that was very clearly steering the organizations more into international sales and being very careful of the German market. So that may be one of the reasons why Phoenix is not fully, let's say, in line with the German market development.
Okay. but just let me follow on this. I mean, remember when we were together at your Capital Markets Day prior to the Intersolar? I mean, that was already a time when everybody was aware of the difficulties of actually placing all the volumes available into the market. That was in June. So, I mean, that was a time when you were preparing for the third quarter. So I would assume that, indeed, your sales force was fully focused on those markets that were able to absorb mainly the German and the Italian market in that time period.
You have to clearly differentiate between components and systems and power plant business. In the power plant business, we very clearly had a focus on international sales. And as you know, that the lead times in general in the project business are comparatively long. You can't move within 2 weeks, let's say, from a foreign market into the German market. So we have been focusing on Thailand, on Saudi Arabia, on Philippines, on India, on Singapore, on Greece, which has recently published a project in Greece, on Italy. We have done a couple of projects in Italy. And don't forget, the best foreign market of Phoenix Solar this year was France, where we've been making more than 100 million in revenue in the project business alone. So very clearly, this allows not a re-steering immediately into the German market, but we are now in a phase in order to do that for 2012. Coming to your second question, our long-term contracts, yes, in fact, we have one. This does not expire by middle 2012. It expires by the end of 2012.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Mehdi Hosseini from Susquehanna International. Maybe you have your question now.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. Dr. Hanelli, you were actually highlighting the opportunities in German market. I have two questions. First, what do you attribute the current slowdown? Is it a lack of financing, just hesitation by your customers to carry through, or what else is there that is holding the market back?
And you mean the German market, maybe?
Yes, German market, and also if you could elaborate on the overall European market. And the second question, what would need to happen for German and the European market to actually react to the lower prices for components?
Mm. Well, there is a slowdown in the German market without any question. So we will be moving from 7.4 gigawatt maybe down to, as I said, expected 4.7 to 5.5, anything in that ballpark. This market decline is desired. It's desired by the politician. It's being supported by the solar industry. The reason why it's slowing down, also this pricing environment is very favorable. We have very high IRRs. I think there are a couple of factors, it's not a single one, but one of the main dominating factors, at least to the end of September, was the fact that the prices have been further declining, and we have this typical deflationary environment, which we have seen in the second quarter, in the first quarter, but also back in 2009, which leads to customers withholding purchase decision. That's one thing. Second thing very clearly also that the purchase decision may have been withheld for the reason that we have been demanding you have to rush for the year end because the feed-in tariff is going to decline in the following year. And the customer, the potential customer having seen that, always got demonstrated that the following year the price declines have been sufficient in order to keep the IRRs at a reasonably high level. In 2011, he has experienced that it's even higher than in the previous years. So that means the motivation of a customer to rush for a deadline for further feed-in cuts. If I would be a customer, I would be very relaxed because saying, I don't care, next year it will be fine as well. And I believe it will be fine because we have seen a price decline right now in 2011, which even allows for attractive margins and returns in 2012. If you see any kind of price declines of 10 to 20% next year, so limited to what we have seen this year, we will see again extraordinary IRRs. So this may be also one of the factors why customers are withholding purchase decision. Finally, I think there are around 1 million PV systems in Germany so far. The German PV contribution to the total electricity supply has peaked to 3.5% in the first half 2011, the highest value ever, more than hydro energy. So we have a significant impact on the German electricity market for sure, and this means at a certain point in time, having many of the very good roofs used, it means that we're also coming, let's say, to some kind of saturation. So going forward, I do expect that the market 2012 will further decline, maybe reach 3 to 4 gigawatts next year. The other European markets, I can tell, at least from the perspective of Phoenix Solar, we are happy with France. France is doing wonderful. We are happy with Italy. We are happy with Greece. I think these three markets, these three subsidiaries will work and conclude the year profitable, including the subsidiary in Singapore. That looks fine for us, and I think also going forward we see that these markets have potential. To the second question, what needs to happen, the German market to react? Again, for sure, the first thing which is going to happen is stable prices. We have some stability right now. I think we will see some further movements by the end of the fourth quarter and beginning of next year. But currently, we have a comparatively stable environment since a couple of weeks. If this is going to happen, I'm sure that the market in Germany can react. I think the market in Germany even has potential to move up and higher than 3 to 4 gigawatts next year because the returns definitely are attractive.
So the financial, the situation with the European sovereign debt crisis hasn't really had much of an impact on financing of a solar project. Is that impact limited?
There is an impact, and it's differing a lot between between the countries. So it's comparatively easy to get financing in Germany. It's easy to get financing in France, comparatively. It's more difficult to get it in Spain and Italy, and it's quite difficult to get it in Greece. So other than a couple of years ago where there was not a big difference in financing, okay, higher margins, higher returns in Southern Europe, there are now some banks withholding financing in some of these regions. But on the other hand, we do know banks in all of these countries which are willing to finance projects, including Greece.
Okay, got it. Thanks so much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Aaron Chu from Maxine. May we have your question, please?
Hey, good afternoon. Appreciate the question. Just following up on some of your comments from Mady's question regarding the positive trends, I guess, in France, Italy, and Greece. I wonder if we could just share your thoughts a little bit more on how you think the Italian market will unfold next year. Given the spending caps and declining impact from the Savo Alcoa exception, do you think the market's going to downshift dramatically next year? And how much upside do you think is possible from the small plant exclusion? And then maybe just as like one last little follow-up, what price point do you think is needed in Italy to generate a sufficient return without a feed-in tariff in southern Italy, let's say? Like 2 euros, 2.25 euros? Appreciate your insights. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the Italian market for sure is going to be high this year, maybe even higher than the German market. However, a couple of these installations are due to installations which have been done in 2010 and are now being grid connected by the beginning of this year. Also, we had quite a number of large scale projects which have been finished last year and have been connected this year. As far as the next year is concerned, I think the market will not stay on this level. We will see feed-in tariff declines in a substantial order of magnitude, not as pronounced as this year with monthly declines, but with half-year declines, and they're declining comparatively fast. And the Italian market surely is one of the markets where we can consider grid parity and working without feed-in tariffs soon. We have identified that basically the situation we already have in the south of Italy, it will move to the north of Italy in 2012 and 13. So surely in Italy, but also in Spain, 2013, there's potential to work potentially without feed-in tariffs. I'm not so sure whether this is going to immediately boost the market because we need to have a kind of transition in our customers. They have been thinking in feed-in tariffs. They have been thinking in pure IRRs. Which was very easily manageable for them, and now they have to think about the different value proposition which they get, and this movement from one world to another world, I think, will not happen in one day. This will last a certain time. But I think the positive surely is that we will see the start of this transition period very soon, I would say in the next 1 to 2 years, when we can try to get rid of feed-in tariffs and just work on the market level in the southern European geographies.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
The next question comes from Sebastian Zank from Sylvia Quant Research. May we have your question now?
Yes, hello. With regard to your plans to restructure your future activities, you also mentioned the word forward integration. Can you please share a little bit more light on these plans? What are you planning in particular here? How can you increase the access to your customers, as I thought that this is one of your strengths? So how can you improve in that field? And the second question is that you mentioned some of your long-term procurement contracts. Here you mentioned that one in particular, which it expires at the end of 2012, which you currently try to renegotiate in terms of volumes and prices. Can you please give us a little hint how much volumes do you have secured with your longer-term contracts, please?
Well, coming to your first question, as we are in the phase of identifying our forward integration targets, I'm not in a position right now to talk about all these issues which are currently discussing. I think we'll come out with some further information in the next couple of months or so. However, what I can tell you, and this is what we have been realizing, is a type of forward integration which we started already last year. Phoenix has been very much concentrating on components and systems business, which includes roofs, typical residential, small and mid-sized commercial. And only for very large-scale installation, very large roofs, and with a strong focus on ground-mounted systems, Phoenix has been doing business in the large-scale projects. Last year, we founded a kind of subsegment to the power plant business, which is the roof power plant division, which focuses on power plants in the range of down to 500 kilowatts, in some cases even below. This is working centrally from the Sulzumos headquarters, and this is a kind of forward integration because we're moving closer to the mid-scale commercial customers. In our subsidiaries in Europe, we even do this more pronounced and we're moving to smaller scales. So there we're even talking about roofs, which we do realize on our own in the order of magnitude of 100 kilowatts. And it's very pronounced in Greece, because already 1-2 years ago, we have identified that the Greek market not is really suitable for the components and systems business for various reasons. So for that reason, we have decided that we do our revenues in Greece fully with own projects and own project construction, including very small ones, and some of them are even below 100 kilowatts. So that's the kind and type of forward integration which we started last year, and we need to gain more track and speed in the course of the next year. But there are other plans underway of forward integration, but please understand that I will report a little bit later on these. The second is long-term procurement ends 2012. That's right. As we're currently discussing volumes and prices and adaptations, another adaptation of the contract, and we are in the midst of the negotiation period. I'm also not in a position right now to report about the outcome. Hopefully next time we will have a conference call and we have concluded the adaptations, I will be able to report a little bit more in detail. But be assured that also some of the goods in transit, and this question came earlier in the call, are due to those long-term contracts, and we have to definitely make sure that we get more flexibility both in volumes and in prices in order to react to current market conditions. I would like now to come, it's 5 o'clock now, I would like to come to the end of the conference call and I would allow for the last question.
So the last question comes from Robert Schramm-Fuchs from Macquarie. It's your turn again.
Thanks very much for giving me a follow-up. Just want to check on your equity ratio, since it's the lowest since listing in 2004. And if any sort of how you feel, how comfortable you are, and then secondly, is this enough, or do you have enough financial leeway to build up your pipeline of projects? And maybe I missed it, but could you also confirm that you are still targeting the first U.S. sales by the end of this year? Thank you.
So concerning your question to the equity ratio, at the moment we have a ratio of 29.7 or 4%, I think. Don't have the figure with me at the moment. We still feel comfortable at this moment with this equity ratio, but we have to increase this ratio, of course, and we won't, I hope we won't make losses the next quarter. This was your first question. The second question, at the moment, we can finance all the projects we have in the pipeline, but of course, we have to increase our liquidity situation in the next year, and which depends on our reorganization report and the negotiations we will have with our banks, and perhaps we will have alternative financing projects here in the company.
Let me come to your second question, U.S. sales by the end of the year. Yes, we announced that, and I can tell you we have sales and we have projects in the United States. However, we haven't announced them yet for various reasons, because we are, the customer wants to withhold press releases and wants to wait for a better situation, which we understand, and for that reason we will make sales, and I can tell you that the project pipeline builds up in the United States very well. We have been starting with very small projects, moving to medium-sized projects, and now moving in the megawatt range, and that looks good from my point of view. So very convinced to a significant contribution of the U.S. sales and profit situation to the whole group in 2012.
Okay, thanks very much.
Okay, we have come to the end of this conference call. I thank you very much for attendance and wish you a nice day and a nice evening wherever you are.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This will conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your participation. Goodbye and have a good time.